Today for halacha, we're going to learn about Isru Chag. There are not too many halachas about Isru Chag, but let's see what we can do.
But today's not Isru Chag.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Yes, it is Isru Chag. Chutz Liaretz, the day after Sekad Yoma, Ches Iyor, in Chutz Liaretz is called Isru Chag, in Chutz Liaretz. In Eretz Yisrael, Zayin Iyor is Chutz Liaretz. In Eretz Yisrael is Isru Chag. But halacha lemaisa, what are the halachas relating to Isru Chag? They're very, very few. It's in Shulchan, they're only in the Ramah. I'm sorry, Sivan. What am I saying? You're right. Sivan, Ches Sivan is Isru Chag. It's not cited. This holiday called Isru Chag is not cited, not by the Mechaber, not by the Rambam, not by all of the Gedolei HaPoskim, of the Rishonim. No one cites a festival, a day, a holiday called Isru Chag. The only one to cite this is the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles. Uvenei Yisrael Yotzim B'yod Ramah, he is the only one to cite it. It's brought down from the Shibuli Haleket. Shibuli Haleket is more like a Medrash, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? It's a very old, ancient Sefer, Shibuli Haleket, and the Ramah cites the Shibuli Haleket, that there are those who say that on this day, on the day after the Chagim, Pesach on the Shalosh Regalim, it is a minor yomtiv, based upon the pasuk Isru Chag ba'avosim ad karnos hamizbeach, which means Isru, you shall bind Chag, the festival ba'avosim, with thick cords, avosim means thick cords, ad up until the corners of the Mizbeach. Let's review the words. We'll translate the words very carefully because there are different translations. Isru, in this translation, it means to tie. Like Matir Asurim. Hashem releases those who are imprisoned. And Asur, why is the person who's in prison called Asur? He's tied up. So Isru means here we should tie. Isru, we shall tie Chag. Chag is the festival. Which festival? The Shalosh Regalim are the only days called a festival. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh are not called Chagim. The only festivals that are called Chagim, not Chanukah and Purim either, is the Shalosh Regalim are called Chag. Isru, take the Chag, tie it up, take some ropes. Isru Chag ba'avoisim. Avoisim means thick ropes you use to tie down a big ship, anchor a massive ship. You have thick ropes. Take thick ropes and tie down the Chag. Kama ad karnois hamizbeach. What is the beginning of the pasuk? Half through the end of the pasuk. Chazal said this in Gemara. Anyone that takes the festival and anchors it does not allow the festival just to fly by. It's by Hashem, it's so chaviv, it's as if we have rebuilt the Mizbeach and put blood on its corners. Offered a sacrifice, like that's the Daf Yomi. Yesterday's Daf Yomi is all about the corners of the Mizbeach. Machlekes Beshamai Besilil, how many applications of dam on the corners of the Mizbeach are essential? Although lechatchila we know we put four applications on the four corners of the Mizbeach, b'diyeved, according to Beis Hillel, one is enough. According to Beis Shammai, two is enough. But so this is how we would translate the pasuk. According to Chazal, that there are festivals, when the Yom Tov is over, it's very, very easy to allow the festival just to disappear. It was a very nice Yom Tov. The cheesecake was delicious. The lectures were stimulating in no particular order. No particular order. Stimulating lectures changed my whole outlook on life. And the cheesecake and the family setting. Everyone agrees on Shavuos, Tzrichim Lochem. You have to have a Lochem. You have to have some Gashmias. It's the only day of the year we have an obligation to have Gashmias. Your family came together and you enjoyed their presence. Okay, it's over. See you next year. Mirtz Hashem. No, that's not the proper approach. Day after Shavuos, you have to reflect. You have to review. You have to write down what went right and what needs improvement next year. Reflect. And the way you will reflect is expressed in the pasuk Isru Chag, to take the festival, tie it up. Tie it up is spend time today reflecting, absorbing, and remembering what happened. Isru Chag with thick ropes. It should not be superficial. What you do should be significant in absorbing the lessons of what took place. And if you do that, Hashem sees how you machshiv, how you value, you cherish the festival. By Hashem, it's as if you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and you offered sacrifices whose blood is applied to the corners of the Mizbech. Yeah.
That's why when you say Chagim, only the three Chagim, and when you make Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, you don't say Chagim is Manu Sosa.
You don't say those words. We actually say Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaZikaron, and Yom HaKippurim. We don't say the word Zmanim. Mekadesh Yisrael VeHazmanim is unique to the Shalosh Regalim.
You don't say Chagim is Manim Nusoson when you make Kiddush at all.
Because there's no din V'Samach B'Chagecha. It's only V'Samach B'Chagecha. Chagim are only the three festivals. Okay, now that is one interpretation. Now, according to that interpretation, does that require us? That's a very nice thing to do, and it's Chazal. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says, but does that have any change in halacha? Okay, this must be doing halacha now. Does that have any change in halacha? Not necessarily. But just this Maimer Chazal in and of itself, should it? Is this a Chazal? This is a Gemara. I have to tell you what the Gemara is. I'll find it over here in a second. But this Gemara, does it demand upon us that we make any changes in halacha? Not necessarily. All it says is the day after Yom Tov is over, after the Chag is over, you shall tie up to yourself the success, the meaning of the festival. How do you do that? Well, maybe we should have a tinus. What would be so bad if we have a tinus? Okay, to lose weight after all the cheesecake? What would be so bad if we have a yom iyun to focus, and that way maybe if we taka would have a fast day today, if we would have some yom iyun where we say tachlun and do tshuva, maybe that would better allow us to absorb what happened yesterday. Because if we're going to have a day of celebration, going to have a day where we're out to the races, then adrabba, we'll forget about it. So it's going to be more difficult to dwell upon what happened to Fini. So the truth is, just focusing on what I've translated, the way I've translated the pasuk for you thus far, is no indication that today there should be any change in halacha. It should be a regular day where we say tachnun, where we are permitted to fast, where we can make hespedim. We can do anything you can do during the year we should be able to do today. However, the commentators say that the word isru does not only mean that you shall tie up. Isru, you shall band. Isru also comes from the word prohibition. Isru, chag, is that you shall create for yourself a day of prohibition. Prohibition of what kind of prohibition? You're not allowed to go to work. Isru chag, that you shall take the festival, and when the festival is over, accept upon yourself an isur milocha, a prohibition to do work. In other words, now the prohibition to do work is always synonymous with a festival. When you don't do work, if you're not going to go to work, what are you going to do? You're going to party. You're going to have a moed. You're going to have a festival. You're going to have a celebration. Isru chag ba'avosim. With you, now ba'avosim, okay, it's a Jewish. This one mepharshim say it. Not everyone agrees with it. It's the shibuli aleket. That's why most mepharshim don't cite any change in halacha. But the Ramah cites the shibuli aleket, who learns not just isru chag is that you shall absorb the lessons of the festival, but rather you shall create another day that is also b'malacha to a degree. Doesn't mean necessarily you can't turn on the lights, you can't go to work. It just means you shall limit yourself in your malacha so that you have time to think about Hashem and to celebrate, because when there's an Isra Melacha, it usually means that is a time of the Zman of Simcha V'Sasayin, in order to reflect upon the festival. That translation automatically triggers a change in halacha. And what would the halacha be? Well, if it's a festival, you're not doing malacha, you're not going to say tachman, because it's a contradiction for you to not be allowed to go to work, which means a festival, and then to recite tachman. It's a contradiction that you're not going to do malacha and you're having hespedin, and you're fasting. So therefore, according to the translation of Isra, it's their prohibition to do malacha. That is the reason why the Ramah says that the custom is that you're supposed to eat a little bit more than you ordinarily would on today. You should be marbe b'su'uda, and you should not recite tachanun. You should not recite supplications which reflect upon doing tshuva and will make you depressed and sad. It's a minor yom tov. This is what the Ramah, the only one that says to do this is the Shita of Ramah, which is Ashkenazim. By some strange reason, the Sfardim have accepted this as well. Okay, the Sfardim also accept this. Like we always think that Ashkenazim take Sfardim and Hagim every so often, but Sfardim would never dare touch a Minig Ashkenaz. It's not true. Sfardim have taken many of the Minhagi Ashkenaz, going back from time immemorial, and this is one of them. Sfardim also, even though the Rambam and the Mechaber makes no mention of this, and all of the Poskim, the Sasha Poskim, they make no mention. However, it has crept into their customs as well, where they do not recite Tachnun on the day after Yom Tov, and they do not engage in Hespedim, because they eat a little bit more, make a little Su'uda, it is a Yom Tov. And that's pretty much all the halachas. As far as I know, those are all the halachas, benogeya, the laws of, that's it, of Migmar Besuda, and not saying Tachlun, and not delivering Hespedim. Even Adkadei Kach, you know how far it goes, a Chosan Kala, today do not fast. I know someone getting married tonight, and they don't fast. The halacha is, a Chosan Kala, do not fast on Isru Chag. That's how far it goes. And even a Yartzad, a person has a Yartzad on Isru Chag, No fasting. When will they fast? Either they'll fast the next day, they'll make it up, Hashlama, Tashlumen, they can fast another day, or they don't fast altogether. Okay? The only exception would be a Tainus Chaloim. Person Tainus Chaloim, he wants to fast, so that can be an exception. Does he have to make up for the fast? Mustam and not. Personally, fast on Shabbos, a tainis chaloim, the halach is you have to have a tainis letanisai, a tainis for the tainis. But when it comes to Ishru Chag, a person has to fast, and you do not need to make it up for a tainis chaloim, because the truth is you really can fast today. It's not etched in stone. The chumrah of Ishru Chag is not all that strict. Okay, so these are pretty much all the basic halachas. Now there is one other very important halacha, and that is, not some Paiskim want to suggest that the din of Ishru Chag is only Shaykh to Shavuos. Today, Rabbi Yisai is the real Ishru Chag, the real deal. Many Paiskim say there's no such thing as Ishru Chag after Sukkot and after Pesach. Now you'll say to me, anyway, on Sukkot and Pesach, the whole Chodesh, we don't say Tachlon. Okay, so you'll say, what's the big deal anyway? On Pesach, the whole Chodesh Nisan, we don't say Tachnun, and the whole Chodesh Tishrei, we don't say Tachnun. So what will be the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina is, should you be Marbe B'Su'uda? One of the halachs that's cited in the Ramah is, you should be Marbe, have a special Su'uda, although ordinarily you would not wash, you would not have a special dish. Today is a day where, in honor of Shavuos, it's Kedai to wash, and have a special dish in honor of the Yom Tov. Does this also apply to after Sukkot and after Pesach? Those days, anyway, you're not going to say Tachlin, you're not going to have a Hespedin. But would there anyway be, the Nafkamina would be, would there be an Inyan to have a special Su'uda? And why would you want to suggest that there should not be any Halacha of a Su'uda after Pesach and Sukkot? So the answer is we have to really delve much deeper into what is the reason why there is something called Ishru Chag. We cited the Pasuk, and the Pasuk's flavor is Hashem wants us to reflect. It's nothing more than the afterglow of the festival. It's a day of reflection, a day to absorb the lessons and to take those lessons with us into the year, into where we go forward. Shavuos is a very hard holiday. It's only one day. Before you blink, it's all over. Okay, this year we had at least a little bit easier because we had a day of preparation. You had Shabbos. So Shabbos, everyone is worried. Everyone is anxious. How am I going to stay up the whole night? Who is speaking tonight? All of the speakers were under a lot of pressure this year. The lectures, because they assume people are going to be listening. On a regular year, you know, they say to themselves, listen, the same way I don't have the patience to prepare, everyone is working, they don't have patience to listen, so you don't know. But this year, it's Shabbos, so they're sitting around the table, and, oh, who's speaking tonight? not the speakers, they have to prepare, they don't get to go to sleep. So they're going to dissect the speakers. So at least this year, you know, you have more of a chance to prepare. But in a regular year, you don't always get that chance. It's talking very interesting that on Shavuos, you need an Ishru Chag much more than you need for the rest of the year. Wow. And Chutz Liar, it's a little bit easier because you have a second day. You have a second day. In Eretz Yisrael, it's only one day. So you blink. If it's the middle of the week and you're working very hard in the middle of the week and you come into Shavuos, before you blink, you stay up the whole night, you learn, you daven shachris, a long davening with Rus, Akdamos, and Yiskar. They package everything into one day, and that's it. And then you go to sleep, and by the time you wake up, it's over. And you're off to the races. You can very easily forget the Yom that ever existed. You need an Ishru Chag in order to absorb what happened. Pesach and Sukkot, at least you have 7-8 days. Okay, but that's one understanding of what it's all about. But there are many other reasons and what the significance is. And the big nafka mina between all the different reasons is the Inyan of Ishru Chag apply to the other festivals as well. And just what I told you alone would be a very good argument to suggest that it does not apply to the other festivals, because only when it comes to Shavuos, which is only really one day, do you really need the Inyan of Ishru Chag ba'avoisim ad kainos amizbech. You need a day to connect and to absorb the lessons. But the other festivals, Pesach and Sukkot, it's 8 days, 7 days, plenty of time. If you have not got it by that, by the end of the Yom, by Achron Shel Pesach, if you have not already figured out what the Yom Tov is all about, another day is not going to make a difference. Okay, the day after Pesach, when you're eating pizza, is not going to make a difference. It's not going to help you. And when it comes to Sukkot, after sitting in the Sukkot for 7 days in Shmini Atzeres, if you haven't figured out what the Yom Tov is all about, it's not going to make a difference one more day. The day after Yom Tov is Ishru Chag. Shavuos, you need it, because Shavuos is only one day. So even Misvara, we understand, we can appreciate why the Pesach say that it's only the Inyan of Ishru Chag is only truly applied to Shavuos, not the other festivals. But let's focus on a halachic. Halach, I'm on a roll now. You have to wait. Let's focus on a halachic reason. What is the halachic reason? What happens when you come up to the Beis Hamikdash Shalosh Pa'amim Bashana? You have an obligation to bring Shalmei Chagiga, a Karban Shlomim, and a Karban Oila. And when do you bring the Karban Shlomim? So the Karban Shlomim you eat. So the Karban Shlomim can be offered on the Yom Tov itself. So Shavuos, the first day Shavuos, there's only one day Shavuos there, so you bring Karban Shlamim. You eat it. How many days do you eat the Shlamim? 2 days and the night in between. So that means you shechted the Shlamim on the first day Shavuos, and you eat it Mitzvah Shavuos, and you're allowed to eat the Karban Shlamim the following day, the day after Shavuos, what we call Ishru Chag. In Eretz Yisrael, it's only one day, so it's the day after. So that day is a day when a very significant number of people in Klal Yisrael, they are still busy eating the Shalmei Chagiga, being that it can be eaten for 2 days and one night. The rule is when you bring a carbon, the day you bring the carbon, and I'm assuming it means while you're eating the carbon, it's your private holiday. Now, if the entire Klal Yisrael, and that at the kach, I think the halach is going to work. If you come to the Beis Hamikdash to bring a carbon oila, a carbon shlamim, even a carbon chatas, the day when you bring a carbon, it's a holiday for you. And if it's a holiday for you, you're not allowed to engage in malach. You can't go to work, even though I'm done. By 7 o'clock, my carbon was brought. I was the first one online. They brought the Talmud Shel Shachar. They brought the Ketores and the Menorah. I was the first guy online, and they were back with my carbon immediately. By 7 o'clock, I'm all finished. Am I now allowed to go home and go to work, or to go get on a train and go to work? Nope. Since today you brought a carbon, 7 o'clock in the morning, it's a Yom Tov for you today. And you're not allowed to go to work. There are limitations of what you're allowed to do. By extension, if you bring a carbon shalomim, where you're eating from the meat today and the following day, 2 days that in between, it's a Yom Tov. Being that Gantz Klal Yisrael, they brought a carbon shalomim, shalmei chagiga on Shavuos, and there was lots of leftover meat, and people continued to eat the meat on the day after Shavuos, so it's a Yom Tov for the vast majority of Klal Yisrael, and that's why it's called, that is why it's a Yom Tov. And this does not apply to Sukkos and Pesach, because Sukkos and Pesach, when would people bring their Shlamim, their Kashal Mechagiga, the first day Pesach, or if you didn't bring it the first day, you can bring it for the first 7 days, you have 7 days really to bring it. So, but everyone finished eating their shlamim by the time Pesach and Sukkot are over. So when you come to Shvi Shel Pesach, and when you come to Acher, and you come to Shmini Atzeres, you've brought your shlamim long ago. You brought your shlamim on the first day Pesach, the first day Sukkot, or now the first day, during Chol HaMoed. So you're done. There's nothing more to do. You can go home. You don't have a large set of Klal Yisrael eating Karm Shlom when the Pesach and Sukkot is over. So there's no need for there to be a Yom Tov called Isru Chag. Another reason. What about the Karm Oila? Now this is really the Ikra Tam. The Oila, in addition to bringing a Karm Shlomim, when you come to Hashem, you have to bring a carbon oila, which is completely burnt. There is no eating. The rule is, on Yom Tov, the only thing that the only carbon you're allowed to bring is a carbon which there is oichel nefesh. If you do not get any benefit from this carbon, you may not eat the carbon, you're not allowed to bring it even on Yom Tov. So in the Klal Yisrael, oila l'regel for Shavuos, did they bring a carbon oila on Yom Tov? Absolutely not. Because there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We pass like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says no, because the oila is completely burnt. The owners derive no benefit. There's no oichel nefesh. So you cannot bring the oila for Aliyah L'Regel on Yom Tov. So when do you even bring it? You bring it, you have another 6 days. You come for Shavuos, you have 6 days to bring your carbon oila after Shavuos. When did the vast majority of Klal Yisrael bring their carbon oila for the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel? The day after Shavuos. And that's why it was called the Yom Tovayach, the day of slaughter. The day of slaughter. So the day after Shavuos is where the whole Klal Yisrael brought the carbon oila in honor to fulfill the mitzvah of the oila relating to the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel Shalosh Pamashana. But for Sukkot and Pesach, when did Klal Yisrael bring the carbon oila? On the first day Chol HaMoed. So there's nothing to bring then. There's nothing more to bring then on the last day when Yom Tov is over, after Sukkot and Pesach is over. We've already brought our carbon oila on Chol HaMoed. We've already eaten the shlamim that we sacrifice on the first day Pesach, the first day Sukkot. We had 2 days, so we've already eaten it. There's nothing more to do. We're done. So there was no technical need for there to be a Yom Tov of Isru Chag after Pesach, after Sukkot. It's only for Shavuos, where you have still one more day to eat the meat of the Karban Shlamim, and it's today, the day after Shavuos, when you're offering the Karban Oila as the keem of the mitzvah of the Oila Asriya. So the only real Isru Chag is the Isru Chag of Shavuos. How then did it happen that we have an Isru Chag for Pesach and for Sukkot? I don't know. It just came about. It came about because we want to fulfill the other concept. It's not because everything we've spoken about doesn't really apply. To join, to bond, to connect the lessons, absorb the lessons, you don't need that after Pesach and Sukkot. You've already been through 7-8 days. If you've not succeeded by that point in time, another day is not going to make a difference. And as far as the Oila and the Shlamim, you don't need it. It's only Shavuos you need it. You don't need it for the other two festivals. So why then do we do it? I guess we don't want to differentiate. We don't want to differentiate between pace, between. Anyway, what are you doing more? Anyway, you're not saying Tachlin. There's really nothing to get on the Chol for Pesach and Shavuos. So just, anyway, not saying Tachlin. So what are you going to say? You're not Hespedim? Anyway, you don't say Hespedim. So what are you going to be Marib B'Suuda? Okay, so be Marib B'Suuda. Doesn't hurt anyone. If you want to be Marib B'Suuda in another day, in order to Machazik Yeshuchag, it's very weak. You're not really doing anything anyway to those days, but Shavuos, today is the only real day. We talk about this thing called Ishru Chag. Today is the real Mekoi. It's the real Ishru Chag is what happens after Shavuos. Now, we're not really finished yet. There are really more reasons. Now, I'll give you another reason which applies only to Shavuos. And this is as follows. This is very interesting. Some want to say just the opposite. A lot of Chazal, if you pay attention, is all a response to Tzedokim. The Tzedokim, the Beit Hosin, made enormous trouble. The time when the Gemara was written, the time of Chazal, when formulated all the halachas, they were troublemakers. And the trouble that they made for Klaus is just not to be imagined. And one of the big problems they made for Klaus Yisrael is when they celebrated Shavuos. When did they celebrate Shavuos? Mimocharas HaShabbos. Pesach is, when is Shavuos? Shavuos begins, it's 50 days after Shabbos. Torah says, you shall bring the Omer, Mimocharas HaShabbos, Tisbiru Chamishim Yoim, and then we come in, and on day 50, they craft a Mincha Chadosh LaShem Bishavu Oseichem, and it's a festival. So, if Pesach would fall out, for argument's sake, let's say the first day of Pesach was on a Monday, when would they bring the Korban Omer? They would bring it Sunday. They would wait Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. 6 days later is when they would first bring the Korban Omer, Mimocharas HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, the Shabbos that comes right after Pesach. And then they would count from then 50 days, and then Shavuos would always fall out, always comes out on a Sunday. Okay, by the Tzedokim, Shavuos is always Sunday, no matter what. Because they are bringing the Omer, they're bringing the Omer on a Sunday, and that's called day one. So day 49 ends on Shabbos. And then Sunday will be Shavuos, and Monday will be the day after. Well, forget about it. Then that's not Nogea to them. So here's the issue. They're always in this particular example when Pesach falls out on a Monday. Their celebration of Shavuos is 6 days after our celebration of Shavuos. What happens in a year when the first day Pesach is Shabbos? The first day Pesach is Shabbos. So when is the Omer offered? Both according to us and according to them. Sunday. So then in such a year, there is no difference between us and them. There's no difference between us and them. Okay, now that's not the case I want to refer to. Now what happens in a year? So then the Shavuos will be when?
Shavuos
this year, it's been Mocharas HaShabbos, right? So Pesach was the first day Pesach was on Shabbos, right? There's no difference. Now, I'm saying that might be totally accurate, but we got this point. What happens, theoretically, I don't think it can happen, but in time when they were Mekadosh Al Pi Re'iyah, let's say Pesach would be on a Friday. Okay, it would be on a Friday. So when would you bring the Omer? The Omer is Yimachal Shah. That's the Gemara talks about this. You bring the Omer. You have to prepare the Omer. The cutting of the Omer is not during Shabbos. So you have to prepare the cutting of the Omer from before. You're not allowed to cut the Omer. The Omer has to be cut because you're not allowed to cut the Omer on Shabbos. But the Omer would be brought on Shabbos. The Omer would be brought on Shabbos. When would the Tzedokim, when would they bring the Omer if they had a decision? Sunday. They would bring it Mimocharas HaShabbos. So remember, what happens in a year? In a year, when Pesach is on a Friday. We bring the Omer on Shabbos, and the Tzedokim, they believe that the Omer should be brought on Sunday. When is Shavuot? So for us, Shavuot is on Shabbos, because Pesach was on Friday, so Shavuot will become on Shabbos. When is Shavuot for the Tzedokim? On Sunday.
Anytime it's Sunday.
On Tzedokim. So it comes out that in that particular year, Shavuot is for us on Shabbos, and Ishru Chag, the day of celebration of Israel, when we're not going to do melacha, we're going to make a blanket prohibition. Melacha may not be done because it's the Yom Tovayach, all the things that we've just mentioned, and Tachan is not to be recited, and we're going to have a Su'udah, special Su'udah. The Tzedokim are jumping for joy because the Tzedokim on that particular day are celebrating Shavuos. Right? Because they follow Mocharas HaShabbos. We celebrated Shavuos on Shabbos. They celebrated Shavuos on Sunday. Because let's go back to Pesach. Pesach was on Friday. So if Pesach was on Friday, when did we bring the Omer? On Shabbos. When then is Shavuos? Shavuos is on Shabbos. So when is Ishru Chag? Sunday. When will Shavuos be for the Tzedokim? Shavuos for the Tzedokim is always going to be on Sunday. So our Ishru Chag coincides in that particular year with the Shavuos of the Tzedokim. The Tzedokim, they're trying to show for themselves legitimacy, and they use this opportunity to show, with Harfash appreciate this, because we live in a different world today, they try, look, the Prushim, they're following us. Look, they're not going to work today. They're going in the streets in their big day Shabbos. They're having celebrations. You know why? Because today is Shavuos. Why is today Shavuos? But Pesach was on Friday. And if Pesach was on Friday, Shavuos for them should have been on Shabbos, not on Sunday. Oh, it must be that the Perushim jump boat. They switch ships. They joined us. They came around to believe in us that Mimochras HaShabbos means Shabbos Kodesh and not Shabbos Pesach. Because today it's Sunday and no one's doing Melacha. The truth is, they're not doing Melacha because they think it's Shavuos. We're not doing Melacha because for us it's Ishru Chag. And Ishru Chag is a festival where we don't do Melacha because of all the reasons that we've discussed before. So they would use this as a wedge to show, prove their legitimacy by fake news, by having pictures in the newspaper of the Purushim on Sunday not going to work, as if anyone went to work, not going to work, and having parties. It goes to show that the Purushim believe that we are correct, that today is Shavuos. So, interestingly enough, it used to be such a custom. And this is what it says over here in the Rabbi Tezner Sefer, you have to read between the lines, is that in such a year, there's no Ishru Chag. In order not to give them any legitimacy whatsoever,
to cancel
Ishru Chag, go to work, say Tachnun, have a Spadim, there's no one to be Maspid, we can arrange that. We'll kill some Stokim. We'll arrange things in order to show that the Stokim are wrong. Now, by extension, once in one particular year, there's a danger that the Stokim may come to use this as a wedge. They did this every year. Because of that one, you see how far it goes? Because of one year, it may lead to problems, so there should never be an Ishru Chag. Because it will be an Ishru Chag, it will result in such a situation, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, which will then be a support to their opinion. They'll use it to their advantage. And we don't want that to happen. So some say that's why the Rambam was very big into disproving the Tzedokim. The Rambam said that's why the Rambam learned Erev Shavuos. The Rambam held you cannot stand up for a Kriyas HaTorah, for Aseres HaDibros. Because if you're going to stand up for the Aseres HaDibros, you're going to mislead people like the Tzedokim. The Tzedokim, many people, they held out of the Tzedokim, but there are people that held the Minim. The only things you have to observe are the Aseres HaDibros. That's it. That's the only Torah. The proof is, look, you only stand for the Aseres HaDibros. Everything else you don't stand for. So the Rambam was very obsessed with not setting the rule, making the wrong impression. If you're going to have every single year an Ishru Chag, it's going to lead to this situation of the Friday, Shabbos, Sunday situation, which the Tzedokim are going to use to their advantage. They're going to play it off, and they're going to mislead some people who are ignorant. So if you know what? Who needs this Shulchan altogether? Who needs it? Anyway, there's no Beis HaMikdash Bizman HaZeh. We don't bring carbon oil or Bizman HaZeh. Anyway, the whole thing is it's just a reminiscent of what used to be. There used to be a carbon Shlomim. There used to be Yom Tovayach. So we won't have it. It's better, the trade-off of not having an Ishru Chag is more important for those few lost souls that may get swept up in the Tzedokim who would otherwise be spared this nonsense and have generations to come of children, grandchildren, great-children who are true to the halacha, to tradition. So this is a very interesting idea of how Ishru Chag interplays with the Tzedokim. Hey, this is a bit of a controversial pshat. If this pshat, I just told you, Zemis actually quotes this pshat over here in the footnote, and he says, and hold on, who's the one? The one that was machadish this pshat could be himself was a Tzedoki. It was the first that was not 100%. Okay, so it's an interesting idea. It's a bit controversial. It explains maybe why we don't find among the Sfaradim, the earlier Sfaradim, the Rambam and others, who advocated on behalf of Ishru Chag, but it's an idea. Okay, there's a few wrap up with a few more short ideas. There's another very popular idea. It's a very interesting idea which speaks volumes, because today you don't get this anymore. If this shot is MS, it speaks volumes how the world has changed so much. And that is, Ishru Chag used to only be an Israeli holiday. It was never ever a holiday for Chutz L'Aretz. It was only a Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael. And that's why it's not in Shulchan Aruch. It's funny, because the Shulchan Aruch is in Eretz Yisrael, and Ramos, Chutz L'Aretz, is reversed. But it originated only why? To pay homage to Acheinu B'nei Yisrael in Chutz L'Aretz, who are observing Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. The people living in Eretz Yisrael had a guilt complex. Here we are, we're living the good life. We're in Eretz Yisrael, we're living in the vicinity of Kedusha, and we only observe one day Shavuos, one day Pesach, we have only 7 days Pesach, and only 8 days of Sukkot, not nine. And our brethren in diaspora, all over the world, they are observing two Sfeikah D'Yoma. So out of respect, out of Achdus, to recognize that our brethren are suffering in Galus, there we will also not do melacha on the day after Yom Tov, and we will be marbe b'seuda, celebrated as a minor Yom Tov, to show our respect to Acheinu B'nei Yisrael in Chutz L'Aretz. And therefore, it was never ever meant to be a festival for people living in the Chutz L'Aretz. It was never meant to be. It was only meant to be for those living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, it's so interesting because today you'll never... Maybe I'm living under a rock. I don't know. Probably am. But I don't get that sense today that the people in Eretz Yisrael are so concerned for the people in Chutz L'Aretz. Adra, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, if you don't keep one day Yom Tov and you keep 2 days Yom Tov, they look at you like you're from Mars. Like, you're only observing 2 days Yom Tov because you live in Chutz L'Aretz. You're not in Chutz L'Aretz. You're here in Eretz Yisrael. What are you doing? What rabbi told you you should observe 2 days Yom Tov? What are you doing? This is where life is. This is it. There's nothing in this world but where we are right now. My impression is that the people in Eretz Yisrael, they're not concerned about the what people are doing for Yom Tov in Chutz L'Aretz. And you're going to go tell me, not only do I have respect that you're a ben chutz liaretz, and your rabbanim tell you that if you don't own property in Eretz Yisrael, you have an obligation to observe 2 days yom in Eretz Yisrael. Not only do I respect you for that, I myself, when Yom Tov is over, I'm not going to go to work. And I'm going to have a suda to make believe that I'm also observing. I have never left Eretz Yisrael for 7 generations. But I have respect for the Bnei Chutz Liaretz, so I'm also going to keep a semi-Yom Tov Sheni out of respect. This mindset does not exist, the best that I know of, in Eretz Yisrael. You got to be from Mars. You're going to find someone that's going to have that mindset that I'm also going to observe 2 days Yom Tov out of respect for you who are observing 2 days Yom Tov. No way. No way. What? What?
They're not following what the Rabbanim are saying in Eretz Yisrael?
There are machlokes apoyskim. What should a ben chutz liaretz do when he goes to Eretz Yisrael? That's a ser machlokes. They don't want, the people in Eretz Yisrael, they get very insulted. They get very, very worked up when someone in your face observes 2 days Yom Tov. You won't observe 2 days Yom Tov, go into a bunker and don't be seen. Don't be seen, don't be known, don't irritate us by observing 2 days Yom Tov. That's, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Am I wrong for saying that? The attitude is, this is the trend. Also, this has this power attitude has crept in so much that many people whose parents and grandparents would observe 2 days Yom Tov when they're visiting in Eretz Yisrael, today are only observing 1 day Yom Tov. They're taking different opinions in halacha, which are legitimate, and but it's not the way it was done years ago. It's a different world today. And look at what it says here about Ishrucha. It was an Israeli Yom Tov in order to give respect to the Bnei Chutz Liaretz. This is far into us. Next, yeah.
When the Israeli comes here, I have a guest on Sukkot, second day of Sukkot. He goes to Manhattan to the museum. So on the way out, he said, "Oh, I don't have a." He doesn't want to be in the army because of the train. So give me a
baseball cap.
A baseball cap.
Okay, that's a sensitivity. It shouldn't be mechal. That's important. That's important because you know people in the goyim, the goyim see difference. Okay, yeah.
If Israeli, they are going to keep Shavuot 2 days.
Yeah.
They over Martosif.
Are they about Tosif? Maybe, possibly. That's a definite possibility.
Huh?
Yeah, possibly.
What? They kept for the boys.
Okay, so this is...
You kept 1 day yesterday. You went through...
They want to be to the whole story.
They're not allowed to. They only have 1 day.
2 days here?
Yep. We're in Israel.
If you're in a place where you have a minion on the second day, you're a lot more welcome. Period. Where my daughter lives, I'm the open one.
Right.
And I keep it because I usually take grandchildren from here. And it's just too confusing.
Right. Okay.
1 day, over there, 2 days.
But the stories, I don't go there so that much, but people who come back, the stories they tell me, that's the impression that I get. And all the years, there's a certain attitude, and it's really amazing how...
They're going to get together. If they would simply say that, then everyone would do it.
No, they're not going to get together because there are two very legitimate approaches in halacha. And many people, their parents, their grandparents... That's what they did. They followed the halacha that if you're a visitor in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 2 days. So it's not going to change. It's not going to change for most, for many people. People who are on the borderline, that's a chumer of a Herschel Shachter. He promotes her. Herschel Shachter says, you keep the chumers of both. He basically, Ben Chutz Liaretz keeps, how does it go? You do both. You wear a tefillin without a bracha. You don't do malacha, but you daven the davening of choil. Yeah, I don't remember the details. There's some type of compromise where you do both. Some people will treat the second day as choil. Some treat it as 100% kodesh. And then there's an approach where you primarily treat it as one, but you give respect to the other by either not doing melacha or by if you're not doing melacha anyway, but at least by putting on tefillin without a bracha, something along those lines. All right, the only other halacha, all right, that's really pretty much Big Day Shabbos. Some even go so far they even wear Big Day Shabbos on Yisru Chag. You don't really see that today, not at least over here. And okay, there is another last reason given is also this is that the day after, based on the pasuk, that when Yom Tov is over, Gan Klal Yisrael comes up to Yerushalayim for Aliyah L'Regel. The Kanto of Yalit Lamakma Shayif Hashem Yel Shakim Shosham, the Mitzvah Ali L'Regel. When they go back, it says in the Pasuk, they return back. Is a Pasuk, I don't have a Pasuk on my tongue. Sam Cheleif. They go back home in a state of Simcha. The Pasuk that says that when you return back to your land after celebrating, returning. Sam Chilev, it's a Chazal Dashna. When you return back from Aliyah L'Regel, you should return back to it in a state of Simcha. So, being that the Oilei Regalim today return home, the airport is crowded, all flights, you can't get a flight out of the Eretz Yisrael because every ticket is sold. It's the day of return, and when you return, you will have to return in Simcha as a out of respect. Of the simcha that Klal Yisrael has today when they return home, it's a Yom Tov. But again, that really focuses, the Yom Tov should be only in Eretz Yisrael, not necessarily in Chutz Li'aretz. Halacha L'maisa, we're very generous. We have a Yom Tov in Chutz Li'aretz, even though it's Sfeika D'Yoma. Already it's past the Yom Tovayach. Already today it's already Ches. So Ches is past the Yom Tovayach. It's past the Shlomim Zman. It's we extend it to Pesach and to Sukkot. We're very generous in our application of how we view the day after these the Chagim as Yisru Chag. The only thing that really needs really good explanation is what in the world is the connection between the Chazal, which I'm not going to do now, of this that it says that those people who observe Yisru Chag add Karnois HaMizbeach. It's as if they have rebuilt the Mizbeach and offered korbanos upon its corners. My high, what is the connection between the Mizbeach and its corners to the people who are observant of Yisru Chag? That's a really tough challenge to find the connection. I did not see anything, at least that I remember, recently to explain this connection, and that will have to leave for another time. Okay, we'll take a short break, and then we'll do a little Haggadah, Benogea, to the parasha of Birchas Kohanim. This week is Parashas Nasai, and Parashas Nasai is the parasha of Birchas Kohanim.